This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah. Homeroom Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah, I know it's a little late for this homeroom, but you know what? We're still here. Might as well put it out there, Johnny and Jess, right? I mean, hey, sometimes the bus is a little late and we got to get to school when we can. But guess what? Good teachers, you know, continue to always welcome their students. Johnny, you got a comment.
It's a late start Monday. I'm on spring break, Tim. We told the listeners last week that it was college spring break season. And
okay,
I'm on spring break, which doesn't necessarily mean I'm on full break. It just means I'm not in the classroom teaching. So appreciate the little later start this Monday. And folks, if you download us later in the day, you have no idea that we're even late.
Except easily that we just
our
told
Monday
you.
Morning homeroom drops, you know, it drops with the sun coming up. So today it's just going to drop a little bit later. And we appreciate you being here with us on this fine Monday. So it's homeroom. Let's go.
Jess, what you got for us?
Well, we have some trending educational news. Can you believe it? Let's start off picking up a topic that we discussed last week, coming from the Wisconsin Examiner. Second Teachers Union sues U.S. Education Department over letter barring DEI practices. The U.S. Education Department faces yet another lawsuit over its sweeping Dear Colleague letter threatening to rescind federal funds for schools that use race-conscious practices across aspects of student life. The National Education Association, the country's largest labor union, along with the American Civil Liberties Union, filed a complaint Wednesday in the U.S. District Court for the District of New Hampshire. NEA's New Hampshire affiliate, the ACLU of New Hampshire, and the ACLU of Massachusetts are also part of the lawsuit. The lawsuit follows shortly after the American Federation of Teachers, one of the largest teachers unions in the country, filed a complaint last week alongside its affiliate. The legal action surrounds the February 14th letter that Acting Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights Craig Traynor sent to schools, which left institutions across the country scrambling to figure out what exactly fell within their requirements. In the letter, Traynor wrote that schools could face the, quote, potential loss of federal funding, end quote, if they failed to comply, and the department would begin to, quote, assess compliance, end quote, no later than February 28th. Traynor offered a sweeping interpretation of a U.S. Supreme Court 2023 ruling, which struck down the use of affirmative action in college admissions. He argued that, quote, the Supreme Court's holding applies more broadly, end quote, despite the decision specifically applying to admissions.
You know what? That last paragraph, though, says it all to me. Then it said, this is reference, we talked about it last week, the Dear Colleague letter. You know, what does the Dear Colleague letter mean? And here it is now. We'll get to the NEA suing, which, you know, we say jumping on, not jumping, but actually joining in with AFT to kind of push on this because, and I said this last week, that the Supreme Court ruling, which was, you know, race conscious decisions for admission, was what they said you can't do anymore. And whether you agree with that or not, that was the Supreme Court ruling, plain and simple. Where I think we have room to be talking about going, does it then apply broadly, as Traynor says, broadly? Why broadly? Because this, to me, feels like you're stepping outside of the law, where the law says admissions, race-conscious admissions. I don't get how you can make the determination that because of that, then I'm going to step outside of the ruling and look at DEI as a whole, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and say to schools, because of this Supreme Court ruling on race-conscious decisions, your curriculum and instruction now is something that you need to be conscious of, because if you are potentially leaning into, and this is just one aspect, curricular issues that might put race, I guess let's use this, race conscious considerations of the curriculum, that would be in the violation. I don't get it. I don't think that that's what the Supreme Court ruling said. And I'm kind of putting this out there and saying, where we look at NEA and AFT, this is very appropriate, I think, to challenge the broad interpretation of the Supreme Court ruling. Johnny, you know, that was me being pretty darn objective.
We'll see. I think it's important to file these lawsuits as professional organizations or unions that represent the labor of teachers, and teacher labor is under distress. And so it's their job to be, I don't want to say aggressive in this sense, it's, you know, appropriately defensive, non-passive. I think that's an important role, and I'm proud to see both those unions move forward with that lawsuit. What I'm excited about also from this article, Tim, and I don't want to glaze over this part, is that, you know, the Department of Education, following the Dear Colleague letter and the confusion around it, hence our discussion, you can listen back, listeners, to episodes last week where we talked about it. There was a frequently asked questions document that came out that I was pretty excited to see. It clarified some of the things that we, you know, dispelled when I pushed back a little bit against saying, you know, remember, education is a state right. They really clearly in that frequently asked questions said, you know, the Department of Education is not exercising control over content of school curricula, and mm-hmm. all, you know, like very, very clear. Nothing in it is, saying you can't have programs interested in particular cultures, heritages, areas of the world. You can have programs. They just have to be open to all students, regardless of race. So these are things that are also myths on the opposite end. Like programs, like say, for example, you know, women's studies programs were not exclusionary to men. So, you know, there's these myths that there's these exclusionary practices of, you know, college programs or certain clubs at schools. Everybody, you know, I know, and I've been, you know, lucky to work side by side with moderators of this. I know we talked about it when we had our presidential election, that, you know, that moderator of, you know, being a moderator of or close to like LGBTQ plus clubs also have students in those organizations who might not identify as LGBTQ plus. There's all kinds of ways that students are involved in communities that are non-exclusionary. So I thought the clarification is like, oh, we're going through a lot of stress to get to a converging point where we're like, hey, okay, let's figure out how all this is going to work out. And I hope that the funding cuts cease, because it's as we're clarifying, we're saying like, well, you're cutting funding for stuff that you say is okay, but claiming that you're going to cut funding because you can't have a thing clarify that it's okay. So hopefully the lawsuits and all of the continued conversation around it helps us to get to further clarification and a little less stress for teachers and students out there.
Jess, you threw a nice comment out there. Go for it.
Manufactured outrage is an excuse to gut schools. How very original.
Yeah. Mm.
No, you look at that. Johnny, I know what you're saying though too with the FAQ, but you know, again, I am quoting from the Wisconsin Examiner though, but the complaint argues that, quote, nothing in the FAQ changes the force and effect of the letter mm-hmm. and only adds to educators' sense of uncertainty and chill. And that's where I was talking about last week, is whatever the legal decisions are, the effect, the immediate effect is going to probably result in some form of self-chilling censorship. And I don't know, and maybe that's smart right now while we're waiting for the clarifications, you know?
I mean, I would just tell people keep doing what they know is good teaching. I mean, yeah. Stop being responsive to these, like Jess said, manufactured outrage. The Dear Colleague letter doesn't say you can't do it. It's clarified that no one is saying you can or can't teach certain things. So it's like we have to also do some, like, turn the mirror towards ourselves, be a little less reactionary, stay regulated, breathe, and don't, just because we anticipate it being really, really bad for us, doesn't necessarily mean that it is.
Right. Well, you know, lots more to talk about. Speaking of teaching, though, Jess,
Speaking of teaching and speaking of some of those concrete effects, let's look at another story. Coming from K-12 Dive, Democratic AGs sue over cancellation of teacher grants. Yikes. The Education Department recently confirmed that the grant programs impacted by the cuts announced last month were for the Teacher Quality Partnership Program and Supporting Effective Educator Development Grants. The agency said the cuts were made because the programs train teachers on, quote, divisive ideologies, end quote. Examples the agency provided in its February 17th announcement included professional development workshops on dismantling racial bias and activities that required educators to take personal and institutional responsibility for systemic inequities. Supporters of DEI rollbacks in education view the activities as illegal discrimination and wasteful spending of federal funds. But those opposing the grant elimination say the programs help address a severe lack of teachers and support students in underserved areas. Easy for me to say. Quote, kids in rural and underserved communities deserve access to a quality education. And programs like SEED and TQP help bring qualified teachers to classrooms that desperately need it, said New York Attorney General Letitia James in a May 6th statement. Quote, slashing funding for these critical programs robs students of the opportunity to succeed and thrive, end quote. Joining James in the lawsuit were attorneys general from seven other states: California, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Colorado, Illinois, Maryland, and Wisconsin.
Mm. Well, okay. Interpretation quickly for Busted Pencil listener. Teacher apprenticeships that we have spent, you know, 2 to 3 years talking about the effectiveness at attracting and getting all kinds of teachers, not just, you know, quote, diverse candidates, but people who didn't see a possibility to become a teacher or didn't see a pathway, took advantage of these programs. And some of them were funded very specifically through the Teacher Quality Program Grant. And yeah, Johnny and Jess are always making faces. They take me off. But let's move on. Keep going. You know what, though? Is this, again, though, what is it about the programming? Because, Johnny, we have now interviewed and highlighted people using these monies in different ways to address the teacher shortage, and not one of them talked about the ideological framework of diversity, equity, and inclusion. It was about great teaching practice, retention, building that skill set to become a really important, effective teacher. And a lot of the information that we had, particularly on elementary educators, was that they were doing really deep dives into the science of reading and early literacy skills, of which this administration seems to support wholeheartedly. So I just look at this. Go ahead, John.
I'm going to call this out. All of this attention to diversity, equity, and inclusion is a distraction. If people buy into it, and there's the real, it's part of the culture war. It's a polarized thing. It's a dog whistle for extreme conservatives to rally around, and for, you know, on the opposite side, liberals to get really focused on, like, oh, they're attacking DEI again. It's a distraction. This is in every way. Like, this article is telling us the cutting of funds is just to dismantle public education, to screw poor kids. And that is what this is about. It has nothing. To me, the whole distraction is we're going to say it's related to diversity, equity, inclusion, and say these programs are cut because they're diversity, equity, inclusion, because then we can blame diversity, equity, inclusion. because right now we're trying to kind of bamboozle the other America, which is urban and rural and increasingly suburban. And it's like the working class, the below high income families who are getting screwed on taxes, getting screwed on inflations, getting really harder and harder to live. The cost of living has gone through the roof, and we're going to gut education at the same time. So this is just an attack on the poor. And I know it's a pariah to identify as the poor, but you know, I mean, here we are.
We're you know what?
It's increasingly a growing group. And instead of just saying we are going to make it harder to live in this country for you and your family, the rhetoric is because of DEI, we're going to cut these things. It's to dismantle public education. It's to screw kids in rural communities and in urban communities, and then conveniently say, but if you want to support this private version, the McDonald's of education, if you want to have a fast food version, we're going to have a whole education enterprise. It's to make more money. Mm. It's for the rich to get richer and for it to get even harder for the poor to live in this country. That's what this is about. It has nothing to do with ideological stuff, diversity, equity, and inclusion being good or bad. That's just the mechanism of distraction for the gutting of funds to bringing something kids and communities around this country need: more teachers, lower childcare expenses, groceries that are affordable. Instead, what we do is we stick to a culture war, and the liberals and the conservatives argue about what's right.
Yeah. No, you know what though? Is this though, as you pointed this out, Johnny, made me think about the rich and the poor here. The number one issue through all of the teacher apprenticeship, teacher residency programs with, you know, federal and state grant funding to get those teachers in the classrooms, by and large, the people that took advantage of that were people who didn't have the economic means to become teachers. That these were truly, if there was, I don't know, diversity, equity, if there was anything that was intentional here, it was to give opportunities for people with less money to become teachers. And so when I see this, right, you sit there and go, okay, is it a distraction from DEI? Yeah, but maybe more importantly, it's also a distraction from the class kind of equalization that teacher apprenticeships and residencies was trying to put into place, because of saying there are great people in all of our communities who could be great teachers. They don't have the economic means to take on a full bachelor's degree and pay the student teach when they're doing that. If we want to create, you know, not just a pathway to take care of the shortage, but to bring more people who are qualified teachers who have representation of being the people in their neighborhoods, we need to create financial ways to increase those populations. And that's what we heard. And so I look at this and say, yeah, I agree with you. DEI is the distraction. But the intention here, though, then is, as you say, obviously an attack on public education, privatizing, but it really also attacks a pathway for people with less economic means to become teachers, to be those members in their communities. This is one of those ways that I say, how do we then help people recognize that this isn't about DEI. This is about taking the people in your neighborhood who want to be teachers and telling them they can't become teachers now. And this is to say the messaging between hardcore liberals and hardcore, you know, conservatives about the culture wars, it does. It keeps us, though, from also having the conversation that our neighbors actually might not see as so toxic, which is, wait a minute, you had a pathway for my brother who was a mechanic and who wants to become a teacher, and now he can't anymore. That had nothing to do with DEI. My brother's a mechanic. He wants to work with kids and support the neighborhood. I think it comes back to how do we critique things like this and how do we package them in a way that says, you know what, liberal conservative, this is about creating opportunities for your neighbor to become a teacher. And this is what's in jeopardy. I think if we have those conversations, we're going to be more likely to get more people to go, you know what? I'm going to think a little bit more deeply about this issue. That's all I'm thinking, Johnny.
I think we just both said the same thing.
I know.
A long-winded stab at it. It's to clarify for folks at the end of it, all this is just an attack on working class poor and people who are struggling. And that's increasingly more and more and more of us. And every teacher out there, you know, the rollbacks of their promised raises and all those things that happen as a result of this cut is to gut public schools, is to hurt kids, families, and communities, including those pathways in. And it is an effort of diversity, equity, and inclusion to find pathways for people to come in. But the excuse that we're cutting the funds because of diversity, equity, and inclusion is a sideshow to the fact that it's just a continued war on the poor. Tim, I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, we are. You know what, though, then? Now it's time for your moment of zen. It's important for people to know their own interest and not confuse their interest with the interests of the people up on high. Because people up on high, of course, in order to stay up on high, have to persuade the people below that they all have the same interests. They don't.
Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom Podcast today. And remember to grab great other podcasts filled with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on the Civic Media website. Hey, we want you to follow, like, rate, review. You do you. Just keep busting pencils with us. Hey, and don't miss this week's class in session on Wednesday. And you could always find free throws and face-offs on Friday. And of course, you're going to catch Busted Pencils on Saturday, live at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.